I'd like to welcome everybody to this session. Our topic for today is Sukkot and the Shekinah. We're going to show you the relationship between the Feast of Tabernacles and the Shekinah. In order to make it nice and easy for you, everything that I'm going to be sharing is on the PowerPoint presentation. So you'll be able to follow along here through the PowerPoint presentation. And, of course, you'll be able to read a little bit faster in your mind than what I'm able to do verbally. So hopefully, between that, you'll be able to follow and keep up with what is being shared. All right, let's begin in Leviticus in chapter 23, in verse 34 and verse 42, where it is written, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. You shall dwell in booths, or sukkahs, 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, or a sukkah." Then it goes on to say in verse 43 that one of the reasons why we are to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and to dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Well, why do we have to remember every year something that happened historically? Because this is one of the reasons why we're supposed to dwell in booths, is we have to remember that is how the children of Israel came out of Egypt. The reason is that the generation that sees the Messiah set his feet down on the Mount of Olives and set up his kingdom, that this is going to be preceded by the end of the exile of the 12 tribes. And the way in which we are to understand how that is going to happen is patterned after the historical Egyptian exodus. So why is it that the God of Israel is pouring out His Spirit now across the denominational lines of the body of Messiah and putting in your heart a desire for the land of Israel, the Hebrew language, the Jewish people, the Sabbath, the festivals, the Torah? Why is He doing that now? And why is He giving you a heart that you want to follow the Torah and you want to examine the Torah readings each week? It is so that you can be prepared for Messiah's coming and you can understand the events that are associated with His coming and the major event of the tribulation is the period set aside for the gathering and uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the pattern in the way in which it's going to happen is after the way in which the children of Israel came out of Egypt. So this is what Paul was explaining in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, in verses 1 through 4, and then verse 11. In verses 1 through 4, he says, "Don't be ignorant that all of our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all immersed in the Moses and the cloud and the sea." And then he says in verse 11 that the things that happened to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And so, in continuing and looking at this principle, that part of the reason why we're supposed to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and do so by building a sukkah or living in a temporary dwelling is that is how the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Now, in the Talmud, in Sukkah 11b, it says the following. "We have learned regarding the verse, for in booths, or the sukkah, did I settle the children of Israel when I removed them from the land of Egypt? That's the verse we just read from Leviticus chapter 23, verse 43. Rabbi Eliezer says that the booths were the clouds of glory. In other words, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He's saying that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the sukkah. But then Rabbi Akiva says, no, they made literal tents that was with them. So it goes on to say, and this is from the Art Scroll on the Feast of Tabernacles, most commentators identify the clouds of glory as the pillar of cloud that led the children of Israel by day and the pillar of fire that lit their way at night. So in Exodus in chapter 13, in verse 20, it says, and they took their journey from Sukkot. Now, what time of the year did they leave? They left at Passover. They left at Passover, but in leaving Egypt, their first stop was at a place called Sukkot. Now, there is a major biblical principle of the Torah that the things that happen to the forefathers foreshadow what happens to their descendants. Or, by extension, biblical history is prophecy. So when you're studying the Torah, you're studying prophecy. You are studying the answers to an open book test. The test is, how do we understand the end of the exile and the coming of Messiah when He sets up His kingdom? The answer is the Torah. And so when you're studying the Torah, you're not only studying history, but you're studying prophecy. So they left at Passover season, but their journey is likened to tabernacles. And they went to a place called Sukkot. Well, Sukkot is also a term for the Feast of Tabernacles. And the way in which they were led was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Now, the cloud by day in the pillar of fire by night is called the glory of the Lord. It says in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. For those of you who have not heard me speak before, let me tell you what I'm doing. At the beginning of my messages, I lay foundations and definitions and principles. And as I share my message, I'm going to connect the foundation and the definition and the principles. In the end, you've got to see how everything all comes together. So what I'm doing right now is I'm establishing your definitions and your principles for you that I'm going to connect together in the message. So what I've shared so far, the principles, the definitions, is Sukkot is associated with building a sukkah, which is associated with, that's how the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They were led by the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, which is also called the glory of the Lord. Now, in the Zohar to Numbers, and the Zohar is a midrash, or a commentary on the Torah at a deeper level. And so in the Zohar, in Numbers, section 3, page 191b, commenting to, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, it says, we should render this as the Lord, that is, the Shekinah. And so the rabbis see that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the Shekinah. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the glory of the Lord. In Targum Jonathan to Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, where it says in our written text, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, it says, then the cloud of glory overspread the tabernacle of ordinance, And the glory of the Shekinah of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moshe was not able to enter the tabernacle of ordinance because the cloud of glory rested upon it, and the glory of the Lord's Shekinah filled the tabernacle. So the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is the Shekinah, and the glory of the Lord is the Shekinah, and that's what led the children of Israel in their journeys. Now, we're told in Exodus chapter 24, verses 16 and 17, that the glory of the Lord, or the Shekinah, is a consuming fire. It says, the glory of the Lord abode, and the word abode is the Hebrew word shekan, from which we get Shekinah. So shekan means to dwell. Shekinah means the dwelling presence. And the A-H ending is a feminine ending. Shekinah is a feminine word in Hebrew. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. Now, we're going to connect those definitions and principles and concepts to Yeshua. In Psalm chapter 29, verse 3, it says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. So, the voice of the God of glory is likened unto thunder. Now, in Ezekiel in chapter 43, verse 2, it's going to associate the glory of the God with the noise of many waters. It says, behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters. So the glory of the Lord is likened to the noise of many waters. The voice is likened to the noise of many waters and thunder. Well, you're going to compare this to how Yeshua is described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 15. First of all, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And describing the Alpha and Omega, it says, his feet was like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. So, the voice as the sound of many waters in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 2, is associated with the glory of the God of Israel, and the glory of the God of Israel is the Shekinah, and the glory of the God of Israel and the Shekinah is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the children of Israel. So, if you've taken algebra, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So, therefore, who is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? Who is the glory of the Lord? Who is the Shekinah that's leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? It is Yeshua, the Messiah. So, in Hebrews, in chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, into Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant. So, the subject here is Yeshua. And what it says about him is he's the mediator of the new covenant. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. Well, who's him? Him is Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant. Refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth. Who's him? Him is Yeshua. So it's talking about the one that spoke at Mount Sinai, and when he spoke at Mount Sinai, his voice was like a thunder. And the voice is the glory of the Lord, which is the Shekinah, and it goes on to say, for our God is a consuming fire. And the Shekinah, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, is likened unto a devouring fire. So this is speaking of Yeshua leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, these things that I just are sharing with you now, the rabbis refer to as Metatron. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 1, from the book, Plurality in the Godhead, or How Can Three Be One, by Rabbi Zvi Nasi in 1863, he's making a reference to an Italian rabbi in the Middle Ages, whose name is Menachem Raconte. And he made a commentary to Exodus 24, verse 1, where it says, he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord. And he found this explanation. In other words, the Italian rabbi found this explanation to that verse. The great and exalted God is speaking to Moses. He says unto him that he should come up to Yahweh, which is Metatron, who is often called with the name of God, alluding to the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord. So look what it says. Metatron, alluding to the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord. Now, the New Jerusalem is associated with Sukkot, the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord. It says in Revelation 21, verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And in verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will shekin, dwell with them. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it. What is the glory of God? That's the Shekinah. And the Lamb, who's the Lamb? That is Yeshua. And the Lamb is the light of the glory of God. The glory of God is the Shekinah. So, you are going to be dwelling forever in the New Jerusalem in the presence of the Shekinah. You're going to be dwelling forever in Yeshua's presence. He is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, in the Midrash Rabbah, it says, the Shekinah dwells with those who study the Torah. It says, if there be no Torah scholars, there will be no Torah study. If there be no Torah study, there will be neither synagogues nor houses of worship. If there are no synagogues or houses of worship, the Holy One, blessed be He, will not permit His Shekinah to abide in the world. So the principle is, the Shekinah dwells with those who study Torah. And then in the Zohar, Deuteronomy section 3, page 261b, Rabbi Yehuda said, higher even than prayer is the conversation of two or three on matters of the Torah. For they shall come to no harm since the Shekinah accompanies them. So the principle that they're conveying is the Shekinah, or God's presence, dwells with two or three that are studying the Torah. Well, compare that thought to Yeshua's words in John chapter 14, verse 21 and verse 23. He that has my commandments and keeps them, his commandments is his Torah, I will love him, I will manifest myself to him. Yeshua answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will shekin with him. In other words, our Shekinah, our presence, will be with those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, it also says, where any two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of you. Well, the rabbis say, where any two or three are gathered, the Shekinah is there. Yeshua is relating and associating himself to the Shekinah. In the Midrash Rabbah, the Shekinah is referred to as the voice of the Lord your God that was in the Garden of Eden. It says, you will find that from the beginning of the world's creation, the Shekinah had dwelt in the lower world. As it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, when the covenant was made with Abraham, it says that a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the pieces. In the Art Scroll of Genesis, volume 1, page 535, Rabbi Raubeg says that what passed between the pieces is the Shekinah. Now, in the Zohar, in Exodus section 2, page 4b, it explains that the Shekinah went to Egypt with the children of Israel. Rabbi Isaac was once studying with Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Simeon, and asked him, did the Shekinah go to Egypt with Jacob? Rabbi Eliezer said, yes. Did not God say to Jacob, I will go down with you in Egypt? Genesis 46, verse 4. Now, when you look at Exodus in chapter 1, it says the number of the children of Israel that went to Egypt was 70. But if you actually do the count of who of the names of the ones who are listed, it only lists 69. So the question is, who is the 70th that went to Egypt? And the answer is right here. God said that He would go to Egypt with them. He's number 70. But He is the Shekinah. So the principle is, when Israel is in exile, the Shekinah is in exile with them. When Israel comes out of exile, the Shekinah comes out of exile with them. So when the children of Israel left Egypt, the Shekinah left with them, and the Shekinah is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Which means then that when we have the end of the exile, when we have the gathering, the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, when we have the uniting of the two sticks of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28, we will also see the manifestation of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the way in which we're going to return to the land is we're going to flee into the wilderness, just like the children of Israel fled in the wilderness. And the way in which we're going to be led back to the land is how the children of Israel were led, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. And we're going to be stopping at various places, just like the children of Israel stopped in various places. And when we stop at various places, it's going to be likened to we're doing Sukkot. And when are we going to leave when we leave? Well, when the children of Israel left. They left at Passover, so we will leave at a future Passover. They went in the wilderness, you will go in the wilderness. When they left, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night showed up. When they left, when they camped. So when you leave, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night will show up. What happened to the forefathers happens to their descendants. In the Zohar, Genesis, section 1, page 166a, to Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round those that fear Him. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord is a reference to the Shekinah. As the verse says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now, when you read angel, you're going to think of a literal angel. But the Hebrew word is malak, which is a messenger. The translators chose to translate the word malak as angel, and an angel is a messenger, but a messenger doesn't have to be an angel. So, the one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the rabbis say, is the Shekinah. Well, it was the Shekinah that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we're told at Mount Sinai that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, that the smoke ascended as the smoke of a furnace. Well, where else was the smoky furnace? Genesis 15, verse 17, when the covenant was made with Abraham. So now in the Zohar, Numbers, section 3, page 191b, referring to Exodus 19:20, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, the question is asked, what stood above Mount Sinai? And the answer by the rabbis is the Shekinah. From the Zohar, Exodus section 2, page 84a, it says, it was the Shekinah who manifested herself at the giving of the Torah in the wilderness on Mount Sinai. Yeah, Shekinah is A-H, the feminine ending. So that's why Shekinah is related to the feminine element, she. Okay? All right, so it says, this is from the Book of Creation, page 15, Mantua edition, referring to Psalm 121, verse 4. We Jews believe that Moses was instructed in all the divine knowledge by no other than the keeper of Israel. The teacher of our master Moses was Metatron. So basically what's saying here is the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai is Metatron, and at Mount Sinai was the Shekinah. And so Metatron is a term for the Shekinah, but we make A equals B and B equals C. We see that this is all referring to Yeshua. It says in Isaiah 33, verse 22, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. So the one that saves us is our king. The one that saves us. Who's the one that saves us? And the one that saves us is our lawgiver. And the one that saves us is our judge. Aren't we told? Romans chapter 14, verse 10, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 20, we're all appearing before the great white throne. The one that saves us is our judge, but the one that saves us is our lawgiver. It says in James chapter 4, verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save. And the teacher of Moses, according to the rabbis, is Metatron, which is a term for the Shekinah. So A equals B and B equals C. Yeshua is Metatron. Yeshua is the Shekinah. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. This is from Targum Jonathan. And they shall make me a sanctuary, a mikdash, to my name, that my Shekinah may dwell among them. From the Zohar, Exodus, section 2, page 231b. Now the tabernacle below, that was the one that Moses was instructed to build, was likewise made after the pattern of the tabernacle on high in all of its details. For the tabernacle and all of its works embrace all the works and the achievements of the upper world, or the heavenly tabernacle, whereby the Shekinah was made to abide in the world, both in the higher spheres and the lower. So they're saying that the tabernacle of Moses was patterned after the heavenly tabernacle. And in the heavenly tabernacle, the Shekinah abides. So likewise, the Shekinah abode in the tabernacle of Moses. Well, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5? Which serve unto an example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, says he, that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mount. Hebrews 8, 5 says that the instructions that was given to Moses was patterned after the heavenly tabernacle, which is what it says in the Zohar. And it says that the Shekinah abides in the heavenly tabernacle. Well, what do we see in Revelation chapter 21? Describing the New Jerusalem, which is likened to a tabernacle, it says, the glory of God did lighten it, Revelation 21, verse 23, and the Lamb is the light. This is Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, where in the written text it says, "In the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Targum Jonathan says that it was the Shekinah that dwelt in the tabernacle. Then the cloud of glory overspread the tabernacle, and the glory of the Shekinah of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So this is from the Talmud, Megillah 29a. The principle is that the Shekinah is in exile with Israel. It has been taught, Rabbi Simon, son of Yohai, said, "Come and see how beloved are Israel in the sight of God, and that to every place to which they were exiled, the Shekinah went with them. They were exiled to Egypt, and the Shekinah was with them. As it says, 'Did I reveal myself unto the house of your father when they were in Egypt?'" 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27. From the Midrash Rabbah, the Sanchino version, volume 7, page 105, says, "However, the children of Israel were exiled, and the Shekinah went into exile with them." Back to the Talmud, Megillah 29a, "And when they shall be redeemed in the future." Notice that the rabbis do not believe that the 12 tribes of Israel are already united, as some in our movement claim. They say when they are redeemed in the future, the Shekinah will be with them, as it says. Then the Lord their God will return, and they're pointing out what it says in the Hebrew is, they will return with your captivity. It does not say Veheshib, and he shall bring back, but Veshab, he shall return. This teaches us that the Holy One will return with them from the places of exile. And he's returning with them in the form of the Shekinah, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, what I'm going to show you next, I think this is awesome. This is from Midrash Rabbah, Lamentations, Prologue 25. It says, 10 journeys were made by the Shekinah, from the cherub to cherub, from the cherub to the threshold of the house, from the threshold of the house to the cherubim, from the cherubim to the east gate, from the east gate to the court, from the court to the roof, from the roof to the altar, from the altar to the wall, from the wall, from the wall to the city of Jerusalem, and from the city to the Mount of Olives. They have scripture for each one of these places. But I want you to notice where the final stopping point is. It's the Mount of Olives. Okay? Take note of that. Now, it says, Rabbi Jonathan said, "For 3.5 years, the Shekinah abode upon the Mount of Olives, hoping that Israel would repent." What is the common belief of the duration of time of Yeshua's ministry? 3.5 years. It abode for 3.5 years, hoping that Israel would repent, but they did not. While a bat kol, or a heavenly voice, issued announcing, "Return, O backsliding children," Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. "Return unto me, and I'll return unto you," Malachi 3:7. Look at this. This is what the rabbis say. When they did not repent after 3.5 years, now they're quoting Hosea 5:15. "I will go and return to my place." And it says, referring to the temple, when it was burnt, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, "I no longer have a dwelling place in this land. I will withdraw my Shekinah from it. And I will ascend to my former habitation," that is, the heavenly tabernacle. "So it is written, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face." Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. So it says in the Talmud in Sukkah 5a, "Did not the Shekinah descend to the earth? Is it not in fact written, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai? Exodus chapter 19, verse 20. But then it goes on to say, but is it not also written, and His feet will stand that day upon the Mount of Olives? Well, whose feet's going to stand upon the Mount of Olives? Yeshua. But who are they saying is going to stand upon the Mount of Olives here? The Shekinah. So, A equals B, B equals C. Yeshua is here being linked with the Shekinah. And He's going to return when they acknowledge their offense, their guilt. And in what form is He going to initially return? The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, when He leads the exiles back to the land, and follow Him leading the exiles back to the land, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, then His feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. Now, referring to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, and His feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, what does the Talmud, Sukkah 5a, associate with that? You just told me earlier. The Shekinah, right? Well, this is a book written by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, From Exile to Redemption, Volume 1, page 54. It says, referring to the verse, on that day His feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. He's associating this with the Messiah. He says, what will be the stance of the Messiah at the end of days? On that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. So here they're linking the Shekinah with the Messiah. Now, in the literal written text, whose feet is it that stands upon the Mount of Olives? Zechariah 14:4. What's the context? It says in verse 3, in the Lord, in Yahweh, will go forth and fight against the nations as He fought against the day of battle. The context of the text is, it's Yahweh. His feet is referring to Yahweh. We understand from Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, when Yeshua went up into heaven, the angel says He will come back in like manner. And where did He leave from? The Mount of Olives. So we understand it's the feet of Yeshua that's going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. Now, I'm going to show you here in the Jewish writings, Targum Jonathan, that the Mount of Olives is called the Mountain of the Messiah. Do you remember yesterday when Rico shared with you when he was talking about the threshold covenant? He was talking about the significance of the Mount of Olives as it relates to the threshold covenant. Remember he shared with you he believed that Yeshua was crucified, hung on the tree on the Mount of Olives. So why did all this take place on the Mount of Olives? Because here I'm going to show you that the Mount of Olives is called the Mountain of the Messiah. And this is from Targum Jonathan to Genesis chapter 8, verse 11. And the dove came to him, that is, to Noah, at the evening time, and behold, a leaf of olive gathered, broken off, the dove brought in her mouth, which the dove had taken from the mountain of the Messiah, which here is referred to as the Mount of Olives. Now, you remember in Exodus, in chapter 15, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea, they sang the song of Moses. Well, here in the Zohar, Numbers section 3, they're going to explain that the song of Moses is the song of the Shekinah. And it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. In the Hebrew, the word is yasher, which means will sing. The Hebrew, the tense, suggests that what they sang will be sung in the future. Moses and the children of Israel will sing this song. And then in the Zohar, Exodus section 2, page 54a, it says, the same is implied in the words, as in the days of your going out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. Micah chapter 7, verse 15. Moses and the children of Israel will then sing this song to the Lord. this song is the song of the Matrona, which is the Shekinah. The Shekinah will sing this song. The Shekinah will sing the song of Moses. So, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, those who get the victory over the beast, over his mark, and over the image of his name, what are they doing? Revelation 15, verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, and here's what it says, they sing the song of the Lamb. Now, what did the rabbis call the song of Moses? The song of the Shekinah. But here, what is in parallel is called the song of Moses? The song of the Lamb. So here, the Lamb, who is the Messiah, is once again associated with the Shekinah. And when are they singing the song? When we have the end of the exile. And when is the end of the exile? They're singing it because they got the victory over the beast, over his mark, and over the number of his name. That the gathering of the exiles of Israel, the end of the exile, is the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So what is the Song of the Lamb? The Song of the Lamb is also the Song of Zion. The Song of the Shekinah is the Song of the Lamb, which is also the Song of Zion, which is the Lord's Song. Going back to Psalm 137, verse 3 and verse 4, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. So they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The answer is, how shall we sing the Lord's song? So what's the Lord's song being called? The song of Zion. Sing us the song of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song? The song of Zion is called the Lord's song. Well, the Lord's song, the song of Zion, is called in Revelation 15, verse 3, the song of the Lamb, which the rabbis call the song of Moses, the song of the Shekinah. So we have the equivalent of the Lord's song is the song of Zion, which is the song of the Lamb, which is the song of the Shekinah. The song of the Shekinah, which is the song of Moses. They are all one in the same thing. Yeah, that song is, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? The song is an idiomatic expression which means Messiah has redeemed and delivered us from our enemies who have taken us captive. Historically, it was Pharaoh. In the future, it's the beast. The beast system, the Antichrist. So your joy that you've been delivered from that system and you no longer have to worry about it anymore. He's been drowned in the sea. You feel so awesome that your joy is expressed in a song. So knowing the song is knowing that Messiah is coming to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, and his deliverance of you is knowing the song. And now, it says regarding the Shekinah, this is in Midrash Rabbah in Numbers, it says regarding the Shekinah that the Shekinah's name is merged with the children of Israel. The name of the Shekinah is one with the children of Israel. Now let's look at Yeshua's prayer in John chapter 17, verse 21. I pray that they may be one, that the world would believe that you sent me. Now, what is he praying that they may be one? He's praying for the unity of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you to notice what is being linked with the unity of the 12 tribes of Israel. And do you remember my message from yesterday? The unity of the 12 tribes of Israel is biblical Zion. And the celebration of biblical Zion is Messiah setting up his kingdom in the Messianic era. And so he says, I pray that they may be one, that the world would believe that you sent me. Why is the world going to believe that Yeshua is the Messiah when his people are one, when they don't believe he's the Messiah now? And they've had 2,000 years to believe that he's the Messiah. It's because the way in which his people is going to be one is he is going to gather his people from all the nations through the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the reason why you're singing the song of the Lamb is because you got the victory over the beast over his mark and his image. And in Revelation chapter 13, it says the duration of time of the beast, the mark and his image, is 42 months. So how is the deliverance from the beast and his mark and his name going to be? Through the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So how long is it going to take for the exiles to return to the land? 42 months. And the whole world will witness and see with their eyes the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And though the whole world will know that he's the Messiah. And the testimony that he's the Messiah is he gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says, John 17, verse 23, look, I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one. I in them and you in me. I in them and you in me. That's the oneness. His name is merged with theirs. Once again, you take that the Shekinah's name is merged with theirs. Yeshua is relating that same principle to himself in his prayer in John chapter 17. Now, in the Zohar, Exodus section 2, page 216b, it says that the Shekinah was in the Egyptian exile, and when the Shekinah is in exile, there is no unity between the upper world and the lower world. What did Yeshua pray? He prayed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, there's a union between the upper world and the lower world. And it says, as long as the Shekinah is in exile, which means as long as Israel is in exile, there is no union between the upper world and the lower world. So what did he pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Look, the coming of his kingdom is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, his kingdom coming is a union between the upper world and the lower world. But as long as Israel is in exile, there is no union. So with that union, which is biblical Zion, is the end of the exile, which is the Messianic era, which is your will being done on earth as it is in heaven, which means there's a union between the people, the land, the Torah, and the Messiah. And so in John chapter 12, verse 28, it says, Father, glorify your name. And then there was a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it. Father, glorify your name. I've already done it. Then it goes on to say, Father, glorify your name. I will do it again. Father, glorify your name. I've already have. Father, glorify your name. I will. So when was his name glorified? It was when he delivered his people out of Egypt and Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea. What it says in the Hebrew to Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, it says, and this is my God, and the King James says, I will make him a habitation. But the Hebrew says, this is my God, and I will glorify him. You see, the God of Israel is glorified when he redeems his people. Father, glorify your name. I already did it. When did I do it? When I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Father, glorify your name. I will do it. When? When he ends the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so, with the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel, Yeshua will be glorified. It says in Isaiah 44, verse 23, the Lord has redeemed Jacob. The subject is redeeming Jacob, the unification of the 12 tribes. And look, he's redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. It says in Isaiah 49, 3, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I am glorified. Messiah is glorified in his people, through his people, when he redeems his people. So in the Midrash Rabbah, it says, volume 2, Sanchino version, page 957, it says, what purpose will the royal Messiah come? What will the King Messiah do? It says, he will assemble the exiles of Israel. So, that's what Yeshua testified of. He said in John chapter 10, verse 16, to the Pharisees, other sheep I have, not of this fold, them I must bring. They will hear my voice. There will be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life. He's saying that he's laying down his life to take two sheepfolds in to make them one. This is repeated in John chapter 11, verses 51 through 52. It says there, Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesied that Yeshua would die for that nation. And then it says, and not that nation only, but he would gather together in one the children of God scattered abroad. Yeshua died on the tree to take two nations, who are the children of God, scattered abroad and make them one. And then when we have the physical gathering of the exiles of Israel, which takes place at Messiah's second coming, that means the Shekinah will come out of exile with them. So when the Shekinah comes out of exile with the children of Israel, then his name is merged with theirs. Then there's going to be a unity of the upper world and the lower world. And when there's a unity of the upper world and the lower world, then we're going to have the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, where it says in the Zohar, Leviticus section 3, page 77a, in time to come, God will restore the Shekinah to His place. And there will be a complete union of the upper world and the lower world. As it is said, on that day, the Lord will be one and His name one. In that day, the Lord will be one and His name one. So where we're going to is the culmination of biblical Zion is the fulfillment of Zechariah 14, verse 9. In that day, the Lord will be one and His name one. In that verse is the fulfillment of the Shema. So the fulfillment of the Shema is when the Shekinah is with His people, there's a union of the upper world and the lower world. When the Lord be one in His name one, which is the Messianic era, which is Yeshua dwelling with His people and Him setting up His kingdom. Now it says in Psalm 102 verse 16, the Lord will build up Zion. When He builds up Zion, He will appear in His glory. When is He going to appear in His glory? When He builds up Zion. What is the building up of Zion? Psalm 147 verse 2, it's the building up of Jerusalem. And what is the building up of Jerusalem or the building up of Zion? He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. So, when the Lord gathers together the outcasts of Israel, He will appear in His glory. But what is His glory that He appears in? It's His glory is the Shekinah. That's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So, remember the principle that the Shekinah is in exile with Israel, and when Israel comes out of exile, the Shekinah comes out of exile with them. Here is the book, The Messiah Text, by Raphael Patai, on page 181. That the chapter title is The Ingathering of the Exiles and the Return of the Shekinah. So, if the title of the chapter is The Ingathering of the Exiles, obviously they're not gathered yet. Obviously, the 12 tribes are not united yet. And when the 12 tribes get united, the Shekinah will return with them. It says, one of the great themes of the Messianic cycle is that of the ingathering the exiles from the four corners of the earth. Ever since the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in the year 70, the Jews have prayed three times a day for the ingathering, which for them is synonymous with the end of the exile, the Messianic redemption. And associated with this is the return of the 10 lost tribes from Assyrian captivity from which they went in 721 before the Common Era. And it says these tribes, the 10 tribes, will be gathered by the Messiah in the land of Israel together with those who are exiled in the West. So look, the 12 tribes are not united today. When they are united, the 12 tribes will be united with Judah, and it will be the Messiah that will do it, and when He does it, we'll have the return of the Shekinah. So, remember I told you about what Zion is? So what would be the controversy of Zion over this issue? So there are those in this movement that's trying to make you believe the 12 tribes are already united. And why do they want you to believe that? Because the enemy wants you to believe that so you don't understand these principles. Because you must understand this principle because it's one of the major principles associated with the coming of the Messiah. So here's your scriptural verse. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Remember, Mount Zion is the conclusion of the journey. He will create on every dwelling place of Mount Zion a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. That's future. There will be a cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And there will be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime, from heat and for a place of refuge. Remember what the rabbi said? Well, what was the sukkah, the booth? Well, one said it was the cloud of glory. So what here is the tabernacle associated with? The cloud of glory. But it says there will be the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night on every dwelling place. Well, if you have a dwelling place, you're going to have a physical dwelling place, and so you're going to be having your own tent. So what is it? It's both. It's your physical tent, but it's also the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So now we can understand Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. What's the gross darkness? The great tribulation. But the Lord will arise upon you. His glory will be seen with your eyes. You'll see the glory. What are you going to see? The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. How are you going to see it? Leading the exiles back to the land. Because when the exiles return to the land, the Shekinah will return with them. So look at this. Isaiah 35, verse 2. You will see the glory of the Lord. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord will return and come to Zion. You will see the glory. The ransom of the Lord will return and come to Zion. Ezekiel 39, verse 21. I will set my glory among the heathen. What is setting his glory among the heathen? Now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25. That is why Yeshua prayed that they may be one. And then he says in John chapter 17, verse 22, and the glory which you gave to me, I've given them. Look, he is now one with his people. The glory that you gave to me, when was Yeshua given glory? When he was resurrected. So when are the exiles of Israel being given glory? When they are resurrected. And what is their resurrection? It is no longer being in exile. They've returned to the land of Israel. Now they're dwelling with the Messiah. They're one with the Messiah. His name is merged with theirs. So in the Messianic era, we have then Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So look, he's dwelling with them. And then for all eternity, Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. The tabernacle of God is with men, speaking of the New Jerusalem. And the glory of God did lighten it. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Okay, questions. We'll take questions for 5 minutes. Yeah. On Pentecost Shavuot, when the cloven tongues came. How does that fit in? Simply speaking, there's a unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a unity, and so in creation, for example, it was the will of the Father to create the heavens and the earth. But the heavens and the earth, John chapter 1, verse 3, John chapter 1, verse 10, Colossians 1, 15, and 16, came about by the word of the Lord speaking the creation into existence. So Yeshua spoke the world into creation from the will of the Father, and then it says the Spirit of God hovered. So the Spirit of God took the Word that was spoken and then you have the completed task. So the Father, the Son, and the Ruach all work together. They're a unity. And so the means by which the restoration of Israel is going to come about is through an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the outpouring upon His people. And so that's what we have in Acts chapter 22. We have that outpouring to begin the process through the Messiah for His people to return through the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart. And then ultimately, the task gets completed by the Shekinah, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Your question. Yes, there's a unity. Father, Son, and Spirit are unity. There's a oneness. A oneness.
And the Shekinah is the result
of? They are all a part of the revelation of the unity of the Almighty, whose name is Yahweh. So ultimately, you're starting to talk about the Godhead, okay? So this is like one of the subjects that, even though you are in a way asking questions related to the Shekinah, which is the topic, I don't want to get directly into talking about the Godhead, because that's one of the subjects that's off subject for the feast, okay? Okay, back here. Yeah, when the upper and the lower come together. First, the upper and the lower coming together is initially fulfilled in the Messianic era. But the greater fulfillment is the new heaven, the new earth. Because you have the principle here now, but not yet. Okay, back there. During the 42 months, when the general world sees the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night,
will other people be able to repent and join in?
Will other people be able to repent? Yeah. The basically, the world's got 3.5 years to witness. You know, it says the gospel will be preached to all the world as a witness. We thought that everyone, that Billy Graham would be on TV and everyone had a satellite. But the gospel is the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Gospel means good news. So the world will witness the restoration of Israel by the Messiah bringing back the exiles back to the land in the form of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Okay, two more questions, because they've got to cut me off. There's going to be a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night for every camp around the world that is brought back. So there'll be multiple ones. Last question. Yeah. We're surrounded by the seas. How we got to get back? Isaiah chapter 11, verses 15 through 16, it says He's going to split the seas. So the miracles in the greater Exodus exceeds those of the coming out of Egypt. They only went through the Red Sea, but there's going to be the splitting of multiple seas. All right. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. Thank you for your time. Pray even more.